Hi, my name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings, and I take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on June 12th, 2024. This week was budget week, so it was a very long meeting. I split the notes into two parts, so this part covers all of the non-budget stuff that would be on a regular agenda, like the mayor's report and all of the other items they vote on. So first up, I'll go over the mayor's report. Airport Director Jim Sesniak and other airport people reported on recent Skytrax awards received by Houston's airports. Skytrax is an international airport rating organization. Hobby Airport received 5 stars. Everyone was very excited about this. And it was voted by travelers as the best regional airport. Hobby is the only 5-star airport in North America. Intercontinental Airport received a measly 4 stars. The airport people expressed confidence that once the construction is done, Intercontinental could be on its way to also having 5 stars, but we'll see about that. The airport people went over updates to IAH and the airport's art program. The director explained that Houston airports have more people looking at art than in the Louvre. Houston airports spend a lot of money on art, and they place it throughout the terminals, not just in one designated location, which is what drives a lot of that interaction with art. He also praised the art program as an economic engine, especially for local artists. Mayor Whitmire thanked the director, accepted the awards, but he emphasized there is still work to be done to make the airports better. He particularly complained about parking. Several council members praised Hobby Airport and thanked the airport personnel and staff. Moving on to some agenda items. Item 1 confirmed 11 appointments and reappointments to the Houston Library Foundation Board of Directors. Items 2 and 3 would have confirmed 4 new appointments to the Montrose TERS, but they were both pulled and therefore not voted on. Item 5 approved costs associated with eminent domain proceedings for land needed to repair 2 storm sewer outfalls along Buffalo Bayou in District G. Councilmember Huffman, who represents the area, remarked that this lawsuit has gone on too long, causing delays leading to repeat flooding. The support document says the city's appraisal of the land is $10,900 and the landowner's appraisal is $4.9 million, a shockingly and almost laughable steep difference. A hearing settled on $207,000. Item 10 approved $390,000 for a threat intelligence platform solution, which combines analytics with human expertise to unite an unrivaled variety of open source, dark web, technical sources, and original research, all to identify cyber threats. Item 11 approved a 1-year, $774,000 contract for holiday lighting services in Herman Square. Item 12 approved $80,000 for 2 license plate reader camera systems and an associated trailer for HPD. Just wanted to point this out because even though they did cancel ShotSpotter, they're still conducting surveillance via cameras on all of us. Item 13 approved $52,000 for 2 spectrometers for HPD. These are used to detect explosives, chemicals, and other drugs. Item 24 supported the development of a 110-unit apartment complex in District J, which plans to apply for the 9% affordable housing tax credit from the state. Councilmember Pollard lauded this development as a signal that the cleanup of the Bissonnette Corridor is paying off. Item 27 approved grant applications to the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. I'm not going to go over all the numbers because that would get complicated, but funding priorities include affordable home development, supportive services, infrastructure, neighborhood facilities, and economic development. It's also lots of money, tens of millions of dollars. Item 40 extended the contract with the company that provides staffing at the fire department base station for 1 year and increases that contract $2.2 million. This personnel coordinates communication and daily traffic flow of approximately 500 ambulance transports to a network of approximately 45 hospitals, so important work. Items 41 and 42 extended 2 contracts for janitorial services across city departments for $9.6 million and $4.6 million, respectively, also very important work. Item 54 approved the interlocal agreement with the Memorial Heights TERS that authorizes phase 2 of the Durham-Shepherd rebuild. Item 79 would have approved a 2-year, $25 million contract with Houston Arts Alliance for civic art and conservation and administration services, but it was referred back to the administration due to concerns raised by Councilmembers Huffman and Peck, who also tagged it last week. Item 25 covers the bond for the firefighter deal, which was this week's big ticket item besides the budget. It approved the issuance of the bond that will ultimately include $650 million for the firefighters' collective bargaining and back pay settlement agreement. The controller's office has still not certified funds as available for the agreement as of this meeting, so this was painted as a preliminary step. I cannot overemphasize the complexity of this issue and my relative naivete on all of the ins and outs. I am doing my very best, and I recommend using your search engines for more information. Do I wish they had saved this discussion for a week that did not also include the budget vote? Yes. Did they ask my opinion while making such plans? No, they did not. So here we go. Councilmembers Pollard and Thomas both put forward amendments that would require this bond to go before the voters as a proposition, likely in November. Councilmember Pollard took issue with the lack of transparency from the administration, claiming that the details of the negotiation were never shared with council. He painted this as a battle of experts and repeatedly referenced a claim from the controller's office that the city's liability should be between $110 to $380 million. Given the ultimate settlement of $650 million, Pollard asked for justification and for the administration to show their work, as it were. Pollard touted his own expertise in negotiations and complained that the settlement will take 30 years to pay off. He said they owe it to future generations to carefully consider and believe something of this magnitude really should be sent to the voters. Councilmember Thomas advocated for voters, saying, quote, "Good governance means, although Houstonians have sent us here to this elected body, it does not mean they have absolved their right to participate in the future of this great city." And she said, quote, "We have a responsibility to make sure that our city remains financially stable and nimble." There was much discussion around whether this bond could even go to an election due to legality and timing and speculation on what the firefighters' union might and might not do. City Attorney Michelle's opinion, delaying approval of the bond in order to send it to the ballot in November would trigger a series of actions that would inevitably lead to the case returning to the courts, which would cause increased legal fees and eventually a potentially larger liability for the city. Mayor Whitmire and Councilmember Pollard sparred over Pollard's requests for the math. Whitmire said, "They started high, we started low," implying it really is just as simple as that. Mayor Whitmire, a little derisively in my opinion, asked what else we should send to the voters, the whole budget? Which made me laugh because I would absolutely love that. Whitmire insisted that officials are elected to make these big, difficult decisions like this on behalf of the people. Mayor Whitmire repeatedly framed this as a public safety issue. He said, quote, "The best way we can get ready for hurricane season is to have adequate first responders, starting with firefighters," end quote. He listed many ailments at HFD due to lack of funding and said the public recognizes the need to make this issue right, especially after 8 years of neglect, implying 8 years of neglect from the previous administration. Attorney Michelle said the proposed amendments should be ruled out of order because they are illegal according to Houston City Charter, which is basically our constitution. Much of this talk was over my head, even with the ensuing discussion. Several council members struggled with the concept as well, which made me feel a lot better. Councilmember Thomas contrasted the rising cost of living with how the city is not offering any extra sources of revenue for the upcoming budget, while simultaneously skyrocketing costs in part through this firefighter's deal. She said that everyone around the horseshoe campaigned on city finances, but accused some of absolving themselves of that responsibility now that they are in office. She praised the heroic work of first responders, who often view their work as a calling, and said, "You can't pay for that," implying because the work is too meaningful, it's so great, etc. The worth of that work is not what is on the table. The financial stability of the city is what is on the table. She made a passionate defense, and she also seemed to recognize defeat and called for a vote on the original item without the amendments. But not everyone else was done talking. Councilmember Castix Tatum was supportive of council approval for firefighter pay increase going forward, but felt the $650 million in back pay should go to the voters. She asked some clarifying questions about scenarios if they sent it to the ballot, namely if the firefighters union could agree to delay the lawsuit until a vote, and Attorney Michelle was like, "Yeah, they could, but they very likely won't." Mayor Whitmire reiterated that it is council's job to make these tough and, yes, expensive decisions on behalf of the people of Houston. He agreed with Attorney Michelle that the firefighters union is ready to go to trial if this deal is not approved. Councilmember Pollard said, quote, "We are voting blind. This is supposed to be collective bargaining. We don't know what we tried to bargain with. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in the twilight zone here." And he went on to say, quote, "This is math. So my biggest thing is, if you want me to vote on this and if you want my support, it would be great to tell me how we got there. It's not about morale and all these intangibles. This is numbers. This is business. You all are businessmen and women who are elected to do the business of the city of an almost $7 billion services corporation. And you're not going to ask for the numbers? And how do we get those numbers? Where's the calculations? End quote. Mayor Whitmire said, "What if I told you $400 million? Would that make you feel good?" And Pollard said, "If that's the accurate number, I don't want a random number." And Whitmire said, "It's a ballpark figure." Councilmember Alcorn advocated for using the general fund to pay down at least part of the $650 million. Whitmire straight up rejected this idea and made very vague references to big plans he has to increase city revenue. A few times, Mayor Whitmire complained about the timing of these discussions, at one point asking, quote, "Where was this discussion last year? 8 years ago? It wasn't allowed," end quote. He was basically yelling at this point. Councilmember Pollard made one final impassioned speech criticizing the city's negotiations and lack of transparency. Mayor Whitmire accused Pollard of insulting council members and the negotiation process. Finally, there was a vote. This item did pass. Councilmembers Thomas, Huffman, and Pollard all voted no. I will cover the budget vote, including all of the proposed amendments, in the next episode. One thing everyone could agree on today was skipping the pop-off section. So that means we are at an end for this episode. I want to thank our Patreon supporters. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes. If anyone listening would like to join that cool team of people that helped make this project happen, funds from that Patreon really help keep this podcast happening. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wozni, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.